There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1208 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk. That's what we're doing around here. Couple things to talk about. First of all, the big green deal. No, this isn't AOC's new green deal. This is the big green deal from FM Talk 106.5. Over $9,000 worth of goodies up for grabs. You just got to get your name in the running. And you can do that when you go to our participating sponsors. You'll find the details on that on our website. I'm sorry, I got distracted for a second. Do you see they're trying to sell me on this? And we're going to get right back to this. They're trying to sell me that the new look is kimonos for guys. Have you seen this? I don't know how the whatever metrics online, but you know, I have my my signature 28 tabs open on my Google Chrome here, and they're suggesting we should be wearing kimonos. Okay, so here's how it works. No kimonos are part of this package. I'm sorry. If you talk to the sales department, I don't know if there's any way to do an add-on. Maybe we could do an add-on here and have a kimono. I didn't know that it would be such a hot item, but kimonos being advertised. They're the second website that's trying to get me to buy it. But it looks like a karate suit. Look, what is that thing called? A gi or a G, isn't it? Gi, I think. All right. None of those available through the big green deal, but tons of other goodies are. And if you'll check our website, FMTalk1065, you'll see the details on that outdoor HD TV and sound system, the extra large big green egg, the Alirondack chairs and table set, the custom made granite topped outdoor cart for that green egg, stand up paddleboard, 2-week golf cart rental, week long vacation at Johnny's Premier RV Resort. Details online, FMTalk1065.com and our Facebook page. So go check it out. And hopefully you'll get registered, and maybe it'll be you. We draw your name here by into July when we do that. So you get a month or so here before you find out who wins. Which, by the way, the person who wins with us is always somebody local. Like a lot of times you'll hear a TV station or syndicated radio station say, oh, well, you know, this winner from right here in our area. Well, we could say that every time because the winner is always from right here in our area. That's where, I mean... Locally owned radio, local contest, local sponsors, local people win. All right. Now I want to lay out the hour for you here. A lot coming up, and we'll talk to Jeff Poor in just a second because I want to get his take on a couple things here. As Lotto, by the way, Dalton, we're going to talk Lotto bill moving now. Even though they said it was not going to make it, Lotto bill looks like it's back on the move in Montgomery. But so is a fantasy sports bill passed out of the Alabama Senate. So, you know, this is like a, what is it? I was going to say Fan Kings. It's Fan Duel and Sport Kings or something. Okay, I'm so ignorant in this stuff. The fantasy sports betting things, right? Well, that bill has moved out of committee in the Senate and actually seems like it's got enough traction that it may make it on to at least a debate in the House. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit also. Yeah, the Lotto. But of course, if you look at any nationwide news agency, there's only one thing going on in Alabama, and that is Alabama's abortion ban. That law signed off on by Governor Ivey yesterday is the alpha and omega of anything Alabama right now, at least in the eyes of national news sources. So we'll talk about it. I do have some questions, though, after perusing social media a little bit about reaction over Alabama's abortion ban. Do we have a birth certificate on Kay Ivey? Dalton, can you see if that's posted? Is that something? No, I do not think she was born in Kenya. No, no. I mean, for her, what is KIV sex? I mean, KIV is a woman, correct? Right. It looks like her womanhood has been revoked by people on social media out there because she signed Alabama's abortion ban, abortion law. That she is not a woman anymore because she signed that. So predetermined, your sex predetermines how you'll vote on something or whether you'll sign something if you're the governor, right? It's predetermined. It's prejudice on how she would vote or how she would feel about something, whether she'd sign off on it. They have removed our governor, her rights of womanhood, gone, it looks like, by some on social media. So there you go. That's I don't know if KIV knows about that yet, if the governor here. I know there are all people from other states where I'm sure they have a woman in their governor's mansion, just like they probably aren't, are they? Alabama, backwards Alabama, right, where our governor is a woman. I just want to, but they now, I guess she's not. So according to some of the screaming voices out there on social media, she is not a woman because she signed Alabama's abortion law. Now, you can disagree with it. That's fine. But I'm going to focus for a second on those that say she cannot be a woman if she signs on to this. So people are telling us that people are simple-minded in Alabama. They're in lockstep, that they can only think one way. They're bigots and they're sexist and this and that, are the same people that say because Governor Ivey is a woman and she signed off on Alabama's abortion law, which, believe me, I'm not here to tell you Alabama's abortion law is the next best thing. I mean, it's a vehicle to challenge Roe versus Wade. There are some issues that are going to plague it going forward. Would it be the bill that makes it through? Like, I don't know. You know, there's some people tell you everything's perfect and this is the most perfect bill. And I'm not one of those people. But the governor has all the rights in the world as a Republican governor in the state of Alabama, or she could be anyone, to have her own beliefs there without having her womanhood removed. But maybe that makes it easier, because they're trying to make the case it's just a bunch of white guys, you know, white dudes that signed off, you know, that voted through Alabama's abortion ban or Alabama's abortion law. So maybe it's better that they take away the womanhood of Governor Kay Ivey so they can say it's 26 white dudes that did it. Even though one's a woman, it's 26 white dudes. So listen, we're going to get into this and a whole lot more with Jeff Poore when we come back. Plus, like I said, a couple things moving here. This fantasy sports bill passing in the Senate. What does that look like? What does it mean for you if you think you can put together the best fantasy team? It means Alabama will probably be last in, as always, on anything gambling, right? I mean, we're just now talking about Lotto here, but we will talk about Lotto and a whole lot more when we come back. It's Midday Mobile. It's Thursday. Beautiful outside. Glad you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. There it is again, Dalton. It's just like, okay, now the third different website. What if I searched that they're trying to sell me karate? I hadn't searched anything karate, taekwondo. No jujitsu, but here in the, you know, like the Google ad things, they're trying to sell me that I need to be wearing, I guess, as a fashion item, not because I would be training at the dojo, as a fashion item, I need to. They're calling it a kimono, that looks like what you wear. Isn't that a gi or a gi or something like that you wear if you're training karate? And now they're advertising it too. I don't know. Maybe that's the new look. Maybe that's what I need to don tonight if I head on out to Cottage Hill Package. Another great event at Cottage Hill Package tonight, as you have these free tasting events where you come out and get to sample what's brand new in craft beer. I'm a realistic person here. I mean, if you're like me, you go in, you see a bunch of new craft beer options, and they all look really cool. The labels look cool. The names are funny. You're like, oh, that probably is good, but I don't know. Before you lay down hard-earned bucks to buy a six-pack of this, you want to know if kind of even like the stuff. That's what's so cool about these events at Cottage Hill Package. You come out, and tonight it's Red Clay Brewing out of Opelika. What's up, Opelika? You can come out and sample a few of their beers. They have their 53 Kolsch, their Halftime Hefeweizen, and their IPA, and see if you dig them. If you like those beers, then you go get the six-pack. That's how the formula works for the Maness family, and you can take part in one of these free tastings tonight. Red Clay Brewing out of Opelika goes from 6 to 8. They do this stuff all the time. That's why you got to like them on Facebook, so you get the updates from them on Facebook. Just look for Cottage Hill Package on Facebook. Go to the website, cottagehillpackage.com. But the most fun is to do it in person. Corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, it's Cottage Hill Package. Y'all say hello to my buddy Jeff Poore with Lanyap. And by the way, make sure you vote for him in the Nappies and the rest of us as well. VoteNappies.com. Like his work in Lanyap, Yellowhammer News, Breitbart. Of course, the host of the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN in Huntsville. And here I am day after, and I was just asking the folks, Jeff, before we went to the news break, what happened here? Because if I look at social media, then KIV has had a sex change.
Right. And they like to, all the media outlets like to show the pictures of the all of the white male Republican senators in the Alabama Senate as proof of being out of touch and not really knowing what's in the best interest of women in their state.
Well, so, I mean, if I listen to these voices, which I don't, but I do look at what they're saying, Kay Ivey has lost her woman card. Is there a woman card? Hey, ladies, by the way, hit me up on the text line. Like, you hear man card. Has she lost her woman card by signing Alabama's abortion law?
I mean, that's a question for the ladies, right?
I don't know, because we're not allowed to answer that, right? Because it's on abortion.
Well, I don't know. Like, the woman card question, though, is what else can you do to lose your woman card? Like, after Memorial Day or something? I don't know.
I don't know either. I said in the opening segment, to me, it's seriously, it is an example of prejudice. And people think, you know, prejudice can only be used one way or another. No, the term prejudice is one that can be applied no matter how somebody looks, what sex they are, or anything. And that is a case where people are like, cannot believe that a female who happens to be governor of our state signed off on, and I don't think this bill is a perfect bill or anything, but this is something that lines up with the belief system of KIV, and how dare she sign it? She must not be a woman.
Look, guys, the state's Republican. We've known that for a while. And here's the other thing. We have a media that I think you could say definitely leads left in Alabama. What did they talk about in that 2018 election cycle? Did we talk about abortion? Did we talk about the gas tax? We didn't talk about any of that. We talked about Confederate monuments and KIV's health, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Flashback 2018. So when all of this was on the ballot, there was very little discussion about an abortion law. But, you know, you kind of get what you pay for. We get the democracy we deserve. And I think that, like, this whole idea that the Alabama Senate and the House of Representatives doesn't represent the state. Well, yes, it does, because they win overwhelmingly in these head-to-head elections. There's a handful of contested races that are close. Republicans still win those. But for the most part, you can go race by race in the Alabama House and Senate, and they are blowouts for Republicans, or they are blowouts for Democrats. And it just so happens that the ones with the blowouts for the Republicans way outnumber the ones that are blowouts for the Democrats.
Now, okay. So, and of course, that's a whole nother show, whole nother subject of how, districts are drawn. And I actually have this weird opinion that probably would rub people that are card-carrying Republicans or Democrats the wrong way. I would rather see things a little less uncertain in each area, each district.
Well, the problem with that is you want minority representation
by law
in these
bodies,
yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want majority-minority districts, and the only way you get there is by drawing the lines these ways sometimes. Otherwise, you're not going to have a certain percentage of African-American representation in the state House and state Senate unless the lines are drawn this way. So there's a catch there if you start trying to erase party lines, because it's a lot more difficult than that.
Oh, but as things are slowly changing, and I agree, slowly changing, but if you drew, it doesn't have to be 60-40. You know, it could be, it could be 55-45. And then you put a district like that, depending, you can have a strong candidate who doesn't look like somebody, you know, doesn't look in identity politics, and they could end up having at least a chance to compete and win.
Well, I mean, perhaps that's true, but there are some places in the state. I mean, you tell me how you're going to get in Baldwin County, how you're going to get a Democratic district out of Baldwin County, that especially in the Alabama Senate, where you got to have a certain number of people.
Right.
I just think it's a lot more difficult than you think. The state may be split 60-40, but that 60-40 split, it's probably more like 65-35, but that 65-35 split, it's more dispersed than that. And the only way you're going to get any level of Democrat representation in these bodies, I think, is to draw the lines like they draw them.
And it may be... Today, you're entirely accurate. Maybe that changes going forward. I don't know, but that's a whole. I'd love to do an hour on that with you because you're well versed in this. I do want to kind of stick with the story on this abortion law. And if you look at national news, there's nothing else that has happened in Alabama. Although we will visit some of those subjects after the news break. But this idea that everybody commenting from the outside in on it either shows me what that they. I mean, part of me wants to say, well, they're scared of Alabama's abortion law. They're scared that's the one that's going to go challenge Roe. At the same time, you have people that you would think would be supporters of Alabama's move being, if not detractors, at least critics of that law.
Yeah, and I think the legislature and the governor's office and all the people that were pushing for this haven't done a great job of explaining the purpose of the bill. As you know, the purpose is to establish personhood in the womb, and it becomes a nasty game when you have to do that. And then you have to start taking out exceptions for rape and incest. Could you say, for example, if a baby was conceived in a rape or an incest, that is not a person? And that's fine if you want to try to do that, but try to do that in a court of law, especially in a federal court of law, then it becomes a lot more difficult. But I think whoever the people are that are the best spokespeople for this and they wanted to go at this, they needed to have somebody out there explaining this, because right now it just looks like those crazy theocrats in Alabama are trying to impose their religion on us.
Okay, I mean, but and I know what you're saying there, but at the same time, if you're going to make – yeah, you're right, the messaging has been non-existent or poor at best – but if you are making that logical argument, and I think you keep rape and incest in there, it doesn't even mean that that's how I would vote or how I want it. But if you're trying to keep it down the argument of personhood, it can be no other way. You have to not exempt rape and incest if you're trying to make a test case here, a litmus case for the Supreme Court.
Right. And you tell me all these people like to talk about being pro-life and what they would vote for, what they would do, but tell me how you're going to change, overcome Roe v. Wade without this legal argument. Is there another way to do it? I know that the Roe v. Wade decision, 73 decisions, a lot of it's based on privacy, but it seems like to me the weak point is going after what the definition of life is. And if you establish personhood in the womb, then it becomes much more valuable, and you have a whole different argument about abortion. That isn't getting explained at all. What's getting explained is just, well, they're just radical and they're trying to win votes. I tell you what, in Alabama, they don't need more Republican votes. They control everything. So I that's kind of a flimsy argument, but I do think they could do a lot better job explaining, especially to the national press, what they're trying to accomplish here.
Now, I got to put critique on both sides. I completely agree with you. They have done a poor or no job of messaging on this from the state, but there are groups, but by and large, there's not a majority of national media that's waiting to hear the Alabama explanation. That doesn't get them clicks, I don't think.
I don't think they understand it, though. And you could, even where I work at Breitbart News, it's safe to say that's a right-of-center publication.
Yeah.
They don't really understand it, because I'm having to explain it to these guys. And I think that might be true throughout the whole conservative movement, where you actually have people that would be sympathetic to the cause, and if you just explained what you're trying to do, you might win them over. I was watching Fox News with Brent Hume. He kind of had the same thing. Well, this is just a little too far out there. Pat Robertson, another guy. But if you just say, this is what we're going to do, and then once we get, and Connie, I mean, Terry Collins of Decatur, the sponsor of the bill in the state the state house, she said, if this gets to the Supreme Court and this gets overturned, we will introduce a heartbeat bill that will provide for exceptions. Have you heard that anywhere?
Other than her mouth, no, and that pressure. Coming right back, more with Jeff Poore right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Details on the Big Green Deal, not the new Green Deal, our FM Talk 106.5 Big Green Deal with over $9,000 worth of goodies for you. Details on our website and our Facebook page. Check it out right now. Continuing our talk with Jeff Poore, and a little bit about, I mean, you can get into the weeds on the bill, and I don't think actually there are that many weeds. I think it's fairly cut and dry, but that's because you and I study this every day. The messaging on this is either zero or has been done poorly, and that lets other people set the narrative.
Yeah, and it's a tough state because you have I think most people in the state would light up on the pro-life side for the most part. I think the media in the state is pro-choice. I think they just think this everything about the state's politics is abhorrent, and they frame it in that way. So you got a couple of hurdles to overcome. But here's the problem. So if you're looking at this, we'll say you're looking at it from a national perspective, and you're relying on the Alabama media, well, then you have problems. And I think you've got a base on the pro-choice side that's very, very energized right now. And we know what happens. We start talking about economic boycotts. We start talking about punitive measures like they did to Georgia with their heartbeat bill by taking away some of the
right.
where they made the movies, right? What happens if they start hitting up some of these auto manufacturers that the state's bent over backwards to bring in, and some of these other these parts distributors or any other big industry, and saying Alabama is against women's rights to choose, you shouldn't contribute to the system in any economic way, we're going to boycott Mercedes, we're going to boycott Hyundai, we're going to boycott Honda, the Nissan, whatever, the Toyota, and then you start getting corporate America a little, they're already traumatized.
No, that's
over
for sure.
Anything.
Yeah, it's you know, because you think, okay, well, you're comparing apples to oranges. You're talking about people in the film industry versus people in the they're all in the money making business. And so, if the ripple goes through a Mercedes or a Hyundai or an Airbus or a Toyota Monster or something, that they would have some kind of reduction in annual sales because of being present in the state with this. I've seen companies flinch for less.
Right. Well, I just think that, just for the sake of the state and the state's reputation, explain what you're trying to do. People may agree with it, but right now the perception is it's just a bunch of, it's just a male-dominated society trying to turn this into the Handmaid's Tale or whatever. And that is not, the greatest, advertisement for the state of Alabama. And I think if you get Terry Collins out there and have her explain, hey, we think life is valuable, and explain what the definition of life is, and this is why we did the bill this way, you'll have a few more people come around, and it becomes a much more argument to demagogue.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so do you see any, and we talked about this the other morning, but do you see any other state? I mean, you have heartbeat bills, and then you have Alabama's bill that seems to be the tightest of them. Do you see anyone that has a better chance of being the one that's picked up by SCOTUS? Is there anything there that tells you, okay, this one's probably the one they'll go with?
If Alabama just passed another heartbeat bill, I would say no way, there's no chance. I mean, there's at least a chance that this gets to the Supreme Court. And given the heightened media scrutiny, I think there's a chance. Now, a lot of the question is just who the challenge is. Not like one of these guys. Senator Cam Ward said he thought that there was no this had no chance against the Supreme Court.
Now, he voted for it.
Zero.
Yeah, he voted for it, but he was just given... Yeah, that's what... I mean, that was one of the opinions. I mean, you talk about Pat Robertson, or you talking about Cam Ward. These are people that support this idea, but they're almost talking academically or semantically about the bill not being the one that's going to make it.
I know, and here's the thing, though. What is the... I don't know what it is. I'm not a lawyer. I'm married to a woman who's about to take the bar and be a lawyer, but I think, what is the Roe v. Wade if this isn't it? What is the other state that has one better than this? And all we are told is, well, look, this has got a low percentage chance of making it, but let's look at the other laws before we make that assessment. And if you listen to these people that push this law, if you listen to Chambliss, you listen to Terry Collins, they say this bill has the best shot because it's different from the rest. It's the strictest, and the point is to establish personhood, and you're going to force the Supreme Court to answer the question, when is a person a person?
There is a couple, even though it doesn't seem like it, if you look at national news sources, there's nothing else going on in Alabama in the legislative body other than that, but a little digging, you find a few more things. All right, you said the other day you thought medical marijuana passed before Lotto, but it looks like Lotto's gotten an infusion of maybe medical marijuana. It's feeling better.
Well, here's the problem, though. You have a bill that's going to the House floor. The biggest problem is they're a different bill from what's in the Senate. So, okay, the House gets a bill, the Senate has a bill, they go to a conference committee, and then both those bills got to be passed by their respective bodies again. So, then what happens? You may lose some votes in the Senate. So we're told. I don't know, but... I'm told if they had done anything different with the Senate bill, they would not have gotten passage of it. So that's the question. What the House is doing with is this the funding mechanism? Does it go to education or does it go to the general fund? And in the Senate, it was all general fund. In the House, it's 75% general fund, 25% education. Does that upset any votes, and does that put the passage of the lottery in peril?
Well, okay, so I want to get to that. So that's the key to this, and I thought about it. Number one, yes, it is self-serving, because I said way before this started there was no way we'd get a lottery that didn't have some, you know, for the kids element. And then I've been eating my words here for a while, but so yeah, there's a self-serving part of that, but it is the thing that you have heard some, you know, complaints, oh, it's all general fund, it's not ETF. Does it bring in enough allies? Even have people that were no votes before in the Senate change? I think it's the reason there were two Republican lotto bills is this polls quite well. I mean, if anybody's on the fence, they're going to go with the breeze, man. And the breeze says lotto.
Right. And it has nothing to do with the gambling or the dog tracks or the Porch Creeks.
No.
People just want a lottery so they can play Powerball, they can do scratch-offs and win the Mega Millions. That's all that they want. And I think I think whatever gets on the ballot, the people will vote for it and vote for it. But the problem is, you're a long way away from getting to that point. This, if passed by the legislature, will be on the ballot in 2020, and then it will have to go to a vote. And then we have to go to another legislative session, which may not come till 2021, to set up the bureaucracy that will run the lottery. By then, medical marijuana will probably be legal in Alabama.
And by the way, too, I don't have the stats in front of me, but he was going through some numbers for Nevada and was showing what the state's revenues were from, and in that case, it's recreational marijuana, but what it was from recreational marijuana versus sports betting. We all know sports betting is a big mule when it comes to the gambling world. It may be one of the biggest mules. And he actually showed the stats that their marijuana excise made more than their excise on gambling. So maybe somebody in Montgomery was looking at that and said, yeah, here's where the revenue is.
Well, I think we're a long way away from recreational marijuana, and we may not see that in our lifetimes.
Well, okay, but you know how it works. I mean, and I am somebody who is, I've not been, I'm pretty open-minded about this. I'm not somebody who even, I think people have the right to vote on it. I would like to see the federal law either removed or enforced, you know, and if it was removed, I'd like to see the states be able to vote and decide if they want to do it. But medical marijuana in so many states, like I said, I'm not any evangelist against the marijuana, but these are just facts, y'all. Medical marijuana has been a a road into recreational marijuana. Look at the states where they did it. It goes from, and I want people who need it for health. I'm waiting for the text line to fill up. I'm with you. I'm just telling y'all what's true. And in other states, they brought medical marijuana as laying down the roadwork, the infrastructure to be able to bring recreational marijuana down the road. And they also, in doing that, you'll hear stories. Now, these are anecdotal. I don't have stats on this, but you have some of these states where they had medical marijuana. People could get a prescription for just about any air quote ailment here, Jeff, that would give them the right to have a prescription for marijuana. I mean, it wasn't like for this just small number of things. Oh, I got anxiety. Okay, well, here's your weed prescription.
Right. Well, and that's the fear of the medical marijuana opponents. And this is nothing but setting up the infrastructure with the dispensaries, mm-hmm. the regulatory bodies, and the way we would distribute it, and the way it's regulated based on, you know, the THC levels, and this is all just heading down that road. I gotta be honest, I think something would have to be done at the national level before we will see any recreational marijuana dispensaries
sure.
within the borders of the state of Alabama.
Well, it's not going to happen anytime soon. It would. I told the proponents of legalized marijuana that Jeff Sessions was their best friend, and they would sit at me and look and scratch their head. And I pointed out that somebody that would actually enforce the federal law would put the pain and pressure on members of the legislature to change the law. But if it's not going to be enforced...
The problem with Congress is it can barely keep the lights on.
Right.
It can barely pay the bills to keep the lights on, and they're not going to spend time dabbling in recreational marijuana, I think.
No, I agree. But especially if there's not an AG pursuing... Now, if you had a different situation, you had Jeff Sessions there and pursuing these states where they legalized recreational marijuana and making life a mess for people in those places, those people and the money that industry makes would get themselves heard in Washington. And then you would have legislators motivated by money and donations and the hue and cry from those states to get something done about it. But when the states that kind of have a vibe and people that like it can pass it and flaunt it in front of the federal law, and then the federal law is not enforced, nothing will ever change on that. No reason to. You're having your cake and eating it too.
And here's the thing, like, imagine you're in Colorado and you're just bringing in the money because you have something no other state has. You essentially have a monopoly on, you know, recreational marijuana use. And well, people are coming from all over the country and other states, right?
But
start making it illegal in other states, take away Colorado's incentive. So maybe they oppose any sort of change in the laws right now, because right now I'm sure they're making money hand over fist.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few states that have the recreational marijuana, but you're right. I mean, there are only a few players in this. Everybody wants to be the last person in, close the door, whatever business it is, whatever widget they're selling. I mean, I'm sure they want some relief to be able to use banks and all that because they can't because of federal banking law, because it's still illegal federally. I mean, here's the thing that is, you can't put the money, the profits, any of the money, you can't run your business through a bank because it's against federal law. But the feds are quite aware that it's going on and it's not shut down. I mean, it's just in plain sight, you know, and that's the frustration. I just think if somebody was in there trying to enforce those federal laws on marijuana, then you would have the legislatures in those places, or the legislature in Washington get enough people back home saying, you got to fix this, that they would do something.
Yeah, and that would, you put the political pressure on it, and then you kind of force them to act because you're going to have a human cry from all your constituents. I get it, but I just, you got to, where do you start that, and then where do you get away from the status quo? Where's the impulse to do that? It might have been, Jeff Sessions might have been your only chance
yep.
for that. I don't know that, you know, anybody else, especially if we have a Democrat elected in 2020,
be
that
no chance.
You're going to have an AG that's going to aggressively pursue these laws.
Yeah, you will not have, I don't even think a Democrat AG, not in the near future, maybe down the road, that will actively pursue, or you'll have any kind of motivation to actively pursue undoing the federal law against marijuana. You have a better chance of somebody who's going to adhere to the rule of law and prosecute folks to make things uncomfortable till then those members of the House and Senate from those states would do something. And yeah, the best person they could have had was Jeff Sessions, and they didn't see it. So, all right. Jeff, remind folks, too, if they want to get hold of you this afternoon. You're about to go on the air here in just a little bit. If they want to listen to you, how do they do it?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_4A. And you can always listen to us live stream, WVNN.com or the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Very good, man. And I will check back with you soon.
All right. Good to hear from Sean.
Likewise. All right. We'll grab some calls, folks. Holden, we'll get to you in just a second. Phone number 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
At 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. We're coming straight to the phones at 343-0106. But first, let me give you a little heads up here. I've been telling you about Harry's for a long time, right? Been a customer, been shaving with Harry's for 4 years plus now. And I've seen a lot of deals from Harry's. And this one they're running right now is the best deal I have ever seen with these folks. Been shaving with them because I like the shave, number one. The blades are great. Everything else that's cool about Harry's wouldn't be worth a stitch if the shave wasn't great. Lucky for us, the shave's great. Now, on top of that, let's pile on here. How about paying half of what you're paying right now for your replacement blades at the pharmacy or the grocery store or wherever you get them? And then on top of that, let's talk about the convenience of having those blades show up at the house. So that's one less thing on the shopping list, one less thing to forget to buy and be stuck on a Sunday night at 9:30 going, oh gosh, I got a meeting with, so-and-so from the boss's office, you know, tomorrow morning, and I don't have any new blades. It's not an issue when you got Harry's. And right now, they're making it so very easy and so very inexpensive to get on board with Harry's, like the 10 million of us who are now shaving with Harry's. Their special offer gives you a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Limited time offer. Harry's has a special offer for listeners who are new Harry's customers. New customers get $5 off the trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. You get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today. Join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. Let them know I sent you. Help support Midday Mobile. But this is this. If you've been on the fence about Harry's for some reason, this is your time. $3, y'all. $3. All right, go to the phones. And we've got a bunch of texts, too, to get to here. But first up, on the phones, Mike in Mobile. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what I want to find out is this is right into what he was just talking about. So there's a time when we're kind of going along with letting the states pass their own law.
Hey, Mike, I got to put you on hold. Dalton, see if you can get a better signal for Mike. Tell him, hold on, we will try to come back to him. Adam in Mobile up next. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Sean, I'm glad to get my call. I was listening to your conversation with you and Jeffrey Poor earlier, and I just wanted to comment in regards to the bill that was signed as far as abortion.
Right.
One of the things that I haven't heard has been that haven't been talked about when it comes to rape and incest is you know, up to 72 and even 96 hours after rape, they can be a DNC is performed or can be performed during the because all hospitals have a rape kit, and so that procedure is definitely an option, and where there would be no pregnancy by rape or incest, God forbid, you know, something like that would happen. But I don't hear that being talked about, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
Yeah, and you know, people talk about that and say, you know, there's that way to do it. There's also, you know, even with Alabama's law, there's a window of time where this can be done. It's a tough one to talk about. That's why this subject still hadn't been figured out in our country. You know, you talk about something as horrific as rape or incest there, you want to go, well, fix it for them. I don't want them to have to. But at the same time, if you're going to make the argument that you have personhood and you have life at a certain time period, it doesn't. It should logically, if you're going to make a logical argument, that it doesn't matter how the child was conceived, through what situation, if they have personhood, they have personhood.
Well, I think at 72 or 96 hours, there's no heartbeat, and I don't think the argument for personhood could be made.
Right.
That's just my personal opinion.
Until after that point, right. But I guess we're saying after that point, if you have an exception for rape or incest on through the pregnancy, then you've almost shot your argument in the foot if you believe in this argument where you're saying that they have personhood. You know, when they have a heartbeat, then you have personhood. So there can't be an exception, can there? There could be no exception.
Well, I think there is exception when it comes to the time frame on when they
agreed. After that time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now that's something that I don't think, as Jeffrey Poore had mentioned, I don't think that's something that an argument has been made or a statement or a reasoning that has been made by the governor or the House and Senate in this regard. I don't think they've explained it very well, just as the point that Jeffrey Poore had made.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because I think they've done, if not bad messaging, they've done zero messaging, Adam, which lets other people put words in your mouth.
Well, I think they've been on a roll with that. There's been several different legislations right. That's been pushed forward that they have not communicated on, one being the gas tax.
Yep.
I think that's still fresh in everyone's mind. The investment, you know, those dollars that's going to be made in Alabama, not only in the state level, but a municipality level, I think it's important. But, that argument hasn't been made.
I agree 100% with you, man. Absolutely. Let's go to Tim in Mobile next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to throw my 2 cents in.
Come on.
You know, back in the day, and I'm not saying how old I am, but back in the day, it seems like abortions were always considered, unfortunately, by the young adults, the high schoolers, you know, the pre-high school, you know, middle school, high school, right out of high school, college age people, because, you know, they didn't expect that to happen, and they didn't want their lives to be, you know, tuned in from the rest of their lives that way. So when you say rape and incest, maybe there's a large group of people who aren't being considered, and I don't mean it as far as accident, but sometimes those are accidents, and, you know, it's putting a lot on a girl, say, I don't know, 16 years old, 17-year-old, to have to make that decision and live the rest of her life. I know she should have never made it, but once it's done, it's done. What's your audience comment?
Yeah, appreciate it. We come back from the break, we'll get their take on it. My point is almost just a academic one. If you're going to make the argument that there's personhood,